Welcome to PageCast at Open Book Cape Town, a special edition of the regular podcast brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. Usually, we explore the latest in literature year-round, but today, we're coming to you straight from the heart of the Open Book Festival, Cape Town's annual celebration of South African literature in an international context. In these festival-exclusive episodes, we sit down with some of the most inspiring voices in literature to delve into their stories, insights, and the powerful narratives that shape our world. Let's dive into the pages together. Shabnam Khan is a South African author and artist. Her first novel, Onion Tears, was shortlisted for the Penguin Prize for African Writing and the University of Johannesburg Debut Prize for Writing in English. She holds a master's degree in English and has been selected for a number of literary fellowships, including the Octavia Butler Fellowship at Jack Jones Literary Arts and as a Mellon Fellow at Stellenbosch University. When not traveling, Shabnam lives in Durban, writing and drawing for a life. Thanks so much for joining us today, Shabnam, and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Welcome to the Open Book Festival in Cape Town. First question, how is the festival so far for you?
The festival is amazing. It's the first time I've been here. I've met amazing people. The setup is so good, and it feels like a very intimate, open-hearted festival, which is interesting and fun. It's fun to be here. Yeah.
I'm going to just, as a bit of a icebreaker question, I want to ask you, if you had to invite three authors to a dinner party at this moment, dead or alive, who would it be?
I guess Arundhati Roy, Sindiwe Magona, and I think probably... Well, I know her, so I wouldn't invite her, but somebody that I wouldn't have access to, I guess. Putting me on the spot. We're going to edit out this
apologies,
part and just put the third
apologies.
Name. give you that third name and you edit
it. That's fine. I mean, two authors is more than enough for a dinner party.
There's so many, but I can't think.
Too many, right?
Oh, Lydia Davis.
All right. Awesome. Tell us about your latest book, The Lost Love of Akbar Manzil.
It's a gothic sort of tragedy, haunting love story set on the east coast of Durban about a young girl who moves into an old mansion along the sea, and she comes to know all the many strange characters who live in the rooms in this house. But she also starts uncovering the tragedy that happened 100 years ago in this house.
Okay, and what inspired you to create this haunting setting, and how does the house itself become a character within the story?
I think I just was interested in telling a story about place and about a young girl's becoming an adult and going through life and trying to understand what love is. And I think I wanted to tell a story about many things. So growing up, adolescence, love, tragedy. And I managed to like just put all these stories into a house. And I think by putting that many stories in a house, the house automatically became haunted. And I like writing inanimate objects as living things. And so the house also got its own personality and became its own character.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. The novel follows the lives of Sana and Mina, two women separated by decades but connected through Akbar Manzil. How did you approach the challenge of weaving these stories together? And what do you hope readers will take away from their parallel yet distinct journeys?
I think I knew I had to have two timelines when I had a house that had a history. So I had to have currently what was happening in the house, but we also have to know what happened in this house to make it so tragic and make it so that it feels so haunted to Sana. So I knew we had to go into a past timeline, and so I had to have two timelines. And I think the parallels is because there's a lot of women in the present and in the past. And so you compare how they are. And actually, you realize that even though one is set in the current time and one is set in the 1930s, they're sort of still facing the same struggles that they were facing back then and even now. You know, they both... The first wife in the 1930s doesn't feel like she has much agency. She has to listen to the whims of her family. And many of the women currently living in Akbar Manzil also feel like that pressure to fit in with society and do what they're told, and it's actually very similar. So I hope people, readers, would see the parallels between the two.
Okay, and as Sana uncovers the troubling history of Akbar Manzil, the novel delves into themes of memory, secrets, and the impact of the past on the present. How did you develop these themes, and what role do they play in shaping the characters and the narrative?
I think I was always interested in exploring memory and grief, and how the past affects the future, because it's just always questions I've been thinking about in my life. And I'm also someone who constantly thinks about memory and how time takes us, how we feel about things presently and how it's been affected by our past histories. And so I think I took that into the novel by having a house and that's been affected by what happened in the past. And I think every human being is an accumulation of also what's happened to them, you know, so that idea was just transferred onto the house. And I think that's what made me write a story that explores memory and grief and history and how are we shaped by what happened before.
I mean, the book is described as a haunting, a love story, and a mystery. How did you balance these different genres in the novel, and what was your process for maintaining the lyrical and heart-wrenching tone throughout the story?
I think the book is many genres, and it can be said to be many things. And I think that's why Gothic encapsulates it well, because Gothic is many things. It's haunting, it's romance, it's tragedy, there's a spiritual world. So I think that's why Gothic encapsulates all those genres well, because I didn't even know what it was when I was writing it. I was interested in many things, and I'm always interested in writing many things. It's hard for me to stick to one genre, because I'm interested in exploring all topics. And so that's, I think, how the book came to be of so many kinds of types of genres. And then in terms of the lyrical writing, I mentioned I would have a dinner with Arundhati Roy. I'm influenced by magical realism writers, that kind of heavy, rich descriptions about worlds and that kind of world building. So I'm always interested in the details, and I'm always interested in giving life to those details. So, you know, making the smells alive and the sounds alive. And I think that's probably where that style of writing comes from. I'm interested in not what is happening beneath the surface also.
Mm. Okay. And at its core, the novel is about Sana's search for belonging in a house filled with history and secrets. How do you see the search for belonging reflecting broader themes of identity and home, particularly in the South African context where the story is set?
I mean, I do think that's a universal theme of like trying to understand what home is. And home is so many things to so many different people. And home is always changing. You know, I used to always think home was a place where the person you loved is. But now I think home is where I feel most free to be myself. And so home is changing. And I think I was interested in understanding how does that make us find our place in the world. And that's what Sana is. She's just trying to find her place in the world. And we carry all those things, the hurts that we went through, the tragedies that we went through. You know, Sana lost her mother. She has this dead sister who's following her around. And how do we understand home through those things that have happened to us in our lives? And that was just something I wanted to explore in the novel.
Okay. And what did you learn or took from writing this book? What did it mean to you?
I probably learned many things because it took like 8 years to write it. But I think I realized that things take time. I think I was very impatient to finish this book, but I realized things take time. And you also have to be at a certain point in your life when things happen. So I might have wanted this book to come out like 5-6 years ago, but I actually am at a perfect place now for this book to come out because I can speak better about things. I understand myself better. I know more about what I'm writing about now than maybe 5 years ago. And I've lived with these characters also long enough in the house to know them and to write better about them. I don't think I would have written the same book if I wrote this 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So characters have definitely taken me also on a journey of self-discovery through them.
Okay, thanks so much. And last question, what's next for you?
It's something nonfiction, but I don't want to say too much because I don't want to jinx it, so I'm going to keep it a secret for now.
Thanks so much for joining us on this special edition of PageCast at Open Book Cape Town. Stay tuned for more conversations with incredible authors. And remember, every story brings us closer to understanding the world around us. Until next time, keep turning those pages.